So starting with Genesis 1:1-5, and then we're going to read John 1:1-3. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
Well, welcome back, and let me add my welcome to Julian's. My name's Matt, I'm one of the pastors here at the church, and it really is good to have you joining us. We are continuing this morning in our series in Hebrews chapter 11, which we just kicked off last week. We're calling this series Future Focused Faith, which really does chime with that song we were singing just now, doesn't it? The idea of looking forward in faith to the future, knowing God's promises are true. And we're going to be focusing this morning on Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. I'm going to read the first three verses of the chapter, and then we'll pray. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that when we open this book, your word, you speak to us and you give us opportunity to respond to you in faith. We praise you that there is more to this world than meets the eye. We praise you for all that we've already been thinking about and singing about and praying about this morning. And we ask that as we come to your word now, you would help us to see with the eyes of faith your fingerprints, your work, your call, that we would have our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus, and that by your Holy Spirit, you would draw us to him in faith. And we ask that in his name and for your glory. Amen. So what do you see when you look at the world? When you look at the physical world, the created world around us, what do you see? Let's be honest, there are times when, as you look at the physical world, you might see, well, threat. You might see, it may well feel like a really big mess, all sorts of chaos. From the really big, threatening storms right to the very, very small threats. Danger, chaos, kind of wild and untamable. But then again, even in that wildness, there is immense wonder, isn't there? As you look at the physical world, perhaps actually you see immense beauty. Incredible vistas, mountainscapes, glorious views, right in the big, or then again, right down to the very small, the incredible beauty of our world. So what do you see? Do you see chaos? Do you see color? Actually, let's be honest, in the end, most of us would say we see both, wouldn't we? We see color and chaos. We see beauty and wonder and wild mess all at the same time. It is wonderful. It is bewildering. It is glorious. It is sometimes threatening. It is out of our control. And yet something in us wants to get hold of it. And yet, the writer to the Hebrews, as we come to chapter 11, verse 3, wants us to see even more. Yes, there is color. Yes, there is chaos. But there is even more for us to drink in as we take in the grandeur of the galaxies, the detail of DNA and all the rest of it. And here's the first thing the writer to the Hebrews wants us to understand. He wants us to see that faith sees beyond the physical. So when you think about it, the people who look closest at the physical world, there's loads of people who look very, very closely at the physical world who are members of Eden, aren't they? They tend to be people we call scientists. They're often people who are examining the greatest, biggest wonders of the universe in as much detail as possible, or the most minuscule, minute, incredible things that you just cannot see except with kind of additional help to the human eye, and they're examining it in great detail, and all of it is amazing. And we have to say that science itself is an incredible thing, isn't it? From the grandeur of galaxies to the movement of molecules to the detail of DNA, the minute detail of life is there to be examined and gloried in. And there is immense power in that as we do it, isn't there? Now, when I used to work as a doctor, I used to take all sorts of different things that science itself had enabled us to do and apply them to, well, to end up being able to actually fix problems in the human body that even just 50 years ago, people would never have dreamed of being able to be fixing, let alone 150 years ago. And why is it possible that doctors and nurses and healthcare staff can do the things they do, particularly at a time like the one we're in now? Well, it's because along the line, medical scientists have taken the human body and they have examined it in detail. They have taken a human body and said it's made up of organ systems, and those organ systems are made up of organs, which are made up of cells, which are made up of proteins, which are made up of amino acids, which is coded for by RNA, which is coded for by DNA, which is made up of small individual nucleotides, pretty much chemical letters. And as you examine things down into such detail, as you look at the physical world in such detail, eventually you start to figure out that, that means that our blood is made up of cells, which is made up of proteins. And there are particular cells in that blood which can spot foreign material as it enters into the blood and causes a threat to the human body so that it can attack them and get rid of them in such a way that that means that we can even prime those cells by injecting certain material into our bodies. And in the end, you get a vaccine for something like COVID-19. Science is incredible because the physical world is incredible. Because of all that we can examine, all that beauty, all that chaos and color that we can examine in such detail, we can harness incredible power. But you know, given all of that, given all that we can see in all that chaos and color, all the detail that we can glory in, and all the power that we can harness, there is a significant danger for us. The danger is that as we see all that creation has to offer, it becomes all we see. One of my favorite authors, if I just kind of want to kind of chill out and read something which is going to make me laugh, is Bill Bryson, who's written all sorts of different books about different things. And one of my favorite quotes from him, it basically picks this up. He is writing this as somebody who does not believe in God and thinks the world is incredible. And he says this, he says, "It is a slightly arresting notion that if you were to pick yourself apart with tweezers one atom at a time, you would produce a mound of fine atomic dust, none of which had ever been alive, but all of which had once been you. Whatever else it may be, at the level of chemistry, life is fantastically mundane. Carbon, hydrogen, oxygen and nitrogen, a little calcium, a dash of sulfur, a light dusting of other very ordinary elements, nothing you wouldn't find in any ordinary pharmacy, and that's all you need. The only thing special about the atoms that make you is that they make you." Similarly, Francis Crick, who spent his life devoted to examining the detail of DNA, said this. He said, "The astonishing hypothesis is that you, your joys and your sorrows, your memories and your ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will are in fact no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and their associated molecules. And the question is, as we read that, is that right? Does that make sense? Is it possibly true that you are simply just a particular arrangement of atoms, which happens to be slightly different to the arrangement of atoms in the chair you're sitting on? Is this really all we are? If it is all we are, how do you make any conclusions about anything at all? How do you make any conclusions about whether your life is worth living, whether coronavirus is worth fighting, whether the people you love are worth loving, if all they are is an interesting arrangement of particular atoms? That is the question that our world, our society, throws at us all the time. And it is the question that Hebrews 11, verse 3, answers head on. Because Hebrews 11, verse 3 says that faith answers those questions and says, oh, there is a whole lot more. In fact, Hebrews 11 says that. Hebrews 11, verse 1 describes faith in this way. Faith is assurance about what we do not see. And you might ask immediately as you read that verse, well, what does that mean? How does that assurance of what we do not see work? How do we exercise faith like that? And 11, verse 3 is an example, before it is anything else, of what that faith looks like. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. In other words, faith looks at this world and says, there is more than meets the eye here. Now, one of my favorite things to track, particularly as my kids come home from school and that kind of thing, is the different playground crazes that tend to go around. There's all sorts of different ones. They come and they go, they rise and they fall, and you suddenly find your house full of tiny, tiny little bits of elastic for no apparent reason that you can't really remember, except that they were a playground craze a few years ago, and all sorts of other things. When I was growing up, one of the playground crazes that hit school was something called Magic Eye. I don't know if anybody remembers this. This is an example of a magic eye picture. Okay, I'm going to try and talk you through it. Okay, it looks just like, well, it looks like color and chaos, doesn't it? It's color. There's a little bit of order to it, but it's just kind of chaotic. What's going on here? But if you look at this in a particular way, you kind of have to cross your eyes and sort of look through the picture. Try and do that now. You kind of sort of cross your eyes until the kind of different parts of it sort of merge together, and kind of try and look through the picture, and you should be able to see another picture in this picture, in 3D, standing out from the page. And I am told, reliably, that you might be able to see a shark. Anyone kind of see that? I'm looking around some of the people in the building. Everybody's shaking their heads. Apparently, this is a shark. Now, I say apparently because, sadly, even though this was a playground craze when I was at school, I have never been able to do them. And I was constantly bewildered as people would hold out these pictures and go, look, it's the Eiffel Tower. And I'd be like, what? It's just a bunch of dots. Like, what is this? I can't see them. I still can't see them. I haven't been able to. All I've been able to do with this picture is give myself a headache this week. I haven't been able to see the shark at all. But apparently, this is a shark. And the thing is that looking at a magic eye picture like that is a little bit like what the writer to Hebrews is saying looking at creation is like. We see all that color and chaos. We see all of those different kind of pieces and bits in creation. We see the kind of the movement of molecules, the grandeur of the galaxies, the details of DNA. And faith says, I can see more. Now, as my friends were kind of picking up these pictures and saying, you know, here's a shark. And they were going, look, yes, I can see it. And I was going, I can't see it. Faith looks at creation and says, look, here are God's fingerprints. I can see it. This is what the faith of Hebrews 11 does first. It looks at the physical world and says there is a world beyond this physical realm. It looks beyond in faith to see the fingerprints of the all-powerful Creator. And that in itself is worth reflecting on. We're going to spend 30 seconds just doing that now. But I guess that it raises an enormous question, doesn't it? And if it hasn't raised the question in your mind already, then I'm going to raise it now. The enormous question is, well, is this essentially just kind of wishful thinking? Is faith basically something that you just kind of work really hard to form within yourself if you could just believe hard enough? And the answer, you won't be surprised to hear, is absolutely not. That is not what faith is, and it is not what the writer to the Hebrews is saying faith is either. Because here's the second thing. Faith doesn't just see beyond the physical. Faith sees the architect beyond the physical. Have a listen again to verse 3. What is it that faith understands? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed. That word formed, it's kind of got the idea of sort of something being set up or put in order so that it will function and work properly. Imagine that you walk into a room in your house and there's been sort of a little bit of clattering and crashing and that sort of thing going on for quite some time, and you're kind of wondering what on earth's going on in there. And then you find that someone you live with, a housemate, a child, a parent, someone you live with, has set up the biggest marble run you could possibly imagine, kind of set up in your living room. And they're just kind of plopping marbles into it and just watching them run down this incredibly intricately designed... This thing looks amazing. My son right now has got eyes going, whoa, this is incredible. Imagine that we were putting marbles down this. If you walked into and saw that marble run, you would immediately be saying, this has been put together. This has been set up. It has been designed. There's somebody behind this. You see the design, and you infer the designer. And that is the idea that the writer to the Hebrews is getting behind when he talks about the way that faith looks at creation. It sees the design and infers the designer. But the big question then is, well, why do we need faith? If I can look at a marble run with my own physical eyes and I can say, well, this has been put together by somebody who's spent a lot of time putting something like that together, why do I need something called faith? Why can't my physical eyes look at the creation around me, look at the detail of DNA, look at the grandeur of the galaxies and say, there's a designer? Why? And the answer is because our physical eyes can't, and actually better, our physical eyes won't see this left to themselves. We need faith because our physical eyes will not see it left to themselves. Why do I say that? I say that because this idea of understanding, by faith we understand, and the idea of creation are put together in one other place in the New Testament, one other place in the Bible, and that's in Romans chapter 1. Where the word understand is put together with the idea of creation. In Romans chapter 1, Paul writes this. He says that people suppress the truth, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, there's the idea of invisibility again that crops up in Hebrews 11, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. It's the same idea again, except here, Paul is saying, as we look at creation, we suppress the truth. The problem with humanity is not that we just need more information. It's that we take the information we are given and suppress it. We are truth suppressors. We will not have the truth of God. If there is any alternative open to us, we will take it to try and dismiss him. And that is why we need faith. It perhaps becomes even clearer when you listen to biologists and scientists speaking about biology. Here's something Richard Dawkins said. He said, biology is the study of complicated things that have the appearance of having been designed with a purpose. Of course, we better not actually think they really have been designed with a purpose, because that would require a designer, and far be it from Richard Dawkins to suggest that that might be the case. Or here's Francis Crick again. Biologists must constantly keep in mind that what they see was not designed, but rather evolved. Why, Mr. Crick, should we keep this constantly in mind? Perhaps it's because everything in us is trying to push down the fact that all of what we see is shouting to us that it has been designed. Every single time we look at it. But we have trapped ourselves in a cycle of truth suppression. We will not receive this truth because it would mean receiving God. And that kind of makes us uncomfortable when we're people who want to be able to decide for ourselves how we might live and what good and right, good and evil might mean. This isn't wishful thinking. If you believe hard enough, you will see, you will eventually be able to conjure up faith from within you. We need faith because we're truth suppressors, because in the end, the only way we will see the architect behind the physical is by responding to him as a person. We can examine the physical world in immense detail, but what we need is him to come and show himself to us. And the response to that showing, that revelation of the personal architect behind the physical, is what the writer to the Hebrews calls faith. Listen again to what he says. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. In other words, as we look at the physical world, what happens in as faith comes is that we begin to perceive the person behind it. That it is not something, but someone who stands behind everything we see, the color and the chaos. That as our eyes in faith fix beyond and through the physical, we see not something, but someone. We see him. And what is it that we see? We see the architect with awesome power. The one who commanded everything into existence. As Alex was helping us think about earlier on, the one who invented the reality that we live in, who imagined it out of his own mind. This is just absolutely mind-blowing. In fact, it is so mind-blowing, we cannot possibly hope to get our minds fully around this idea that reality itself was invented by God at his command. One of my favorite ever descriptions of this idea comes in The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis. And he's describing Aslan creating Narnia, describing Polly, one of the characters, watching on. This is what he says. He says, Polly was finding the song the lion was singing more and more interesting, because she thought she was beginning to see the connection between the music and the things that were happening. When a line of dark firs sprang up on a ridge 100 yards away, she felt that they were connected with a series of deep, prolonged notes which the lion had sung a second before. And when he burst into a rapid series of lighter notes, she wasn't surprised to see primroses suddenly appearing in every direction. Thus, with an unspeakable thrill, she felt quite certain that all the things were coming, as she said, out of the lion's head. When you listened to his song, you could hear the things he was making up. When you looked around, you could see them. And as we fix our eyes on Genesis 1 and ask God himself to speak to us that we might respond in faith, we get to see the Creator's song. And then as we look around, we get to see the things that he's singing. That is what faith does. Faith sees the architect beyond the physical. Now, our problem is, left to ourselves, we will suppress, we will ignore that truth. And so what we need is him to come to us, to speak to us. And faith is that spiritual faculty which responds to his speech, responds to his word. Most of all, it's that spiritual faculty which responds to the word. The one who Hebrews puts earlier on in chapter 1 is the one through whom he also made the universe. Ultimately, this faith will arise in our hearts as we see the Lord Jesus, as we see God revealing himself to us in the Lord Jesus, and as we respond to him. Faith sees the architect beyond the physical. Let's pause again to reflect on that for a few moments. And so as we kind of begin to draw to a close, here is the really big question that's been kind of getting at me all week as I've been studying this verse. Here is a verse in Hebrews 11, which is all about future-focused faith. The chapter is all about future-focused faith. That's what we've called this series. And here is this verse, which is talking about something that happened, well, at the beginning of time, creation. How is the faith that is being described in verse 3 related to the future-focused faith that is described in this whole chapter? What's the link? Where's the link between seeing the architect behind creation and looking forward in hope? Well, here's the third thing. Faith knows the architect beyond the physical. So I want to ask again, what do you see when you look at the world? Do you see color and chaos? Or do you see beauty, order, and purpose? Do you see with faith that there is more than meets the physical eye? That's the question that Hebrews 11 verse 3 asks. But then the rest of Hebrews 11 asks, what do you see when you look at the course of the world? Not just when you look at creation, but when you look at history. Because here again is an opportunity for faith to respond. And when faith looks at the course of the world, when faith looks at history, faith says there is more here than meets the eye. This is not just chaos and purposelessness. No, here again, here even more, we can see the fingerprints of the architect, the one who is guiding this world to an end, to a goal. And faith, having seen him, then yearns for him. It's not just a case of seeing that he is there. It is a case of yearning and longing for him, of knowing the architect beyond the physical. And so this is the invitation that right at the beginning of Hebrews 11, the writer issues to us. He invites us to revel in the physical world, but most of all, to revel in what it points to beyond itself. To hear God's call, even as he cried out, "Let there be light," and there was light. And to respond by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the one through whom we see the architect, the one through whom we know the architect, and running headlong towards him all our days. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, there is so much in this one verse. As we start to consider what it means for you to have created the universe by the word of your command. Father, we praise you that you grant faith that we might see you, that we might see your fingerprints, that we might know your truth. And we pray that you would grant us that confidence, that assurance in things not seen, that our eyes might be fixed on the Lord Jesus in faith, and that we might run towards him. And we pray that in his name. Amen.